Well, I am really thankful for the people who put together the lectionary texts, because this week, as you know, we're going to go through 5-6 weeks of Bread of Life. The whole of chapter 6, we're going to be focusing on that for quite a long time, more than is comfortable for preachers, especially. But anyway, what they did for me was they repeated one of the lines from last week's text, right? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Right? And last week, so since they repeated themselves, I'm going to repeat myself from last week. Just a minute. Because it's really important, the I am sayings in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the true vine, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did 7 times he does that in the Gospel of John. And the I am is the reflection of the divine name. It's the name that God gave to Moses, right? When Moses at the burning bush said, who are you? Who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am. But this divine name is never spoken. It's so holy that it's not spoken. And so when you read in Scripture, and especially in the Hebrew Bible you're reading, and it says the Lord said this or the Lord did that, the Lord is the word that is substituted for the divine name so that nobody has to speak the divine name. Okay? It's that holy. So, Jesus is saying, you know the I am, that God, he and I are one. That God and I are one. So, and what the rabbis came in throughout the tradition of which Jesus is part is they understood that the divine name was mercy. The quality, the characteristic of God is mercy, and that divine name held mercy. So when we say when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's saying, I am, that is to say, the God of Israel, and that the God of Israel is named Mercy. Mercy. And so, it is an amazing thing that, we always are praying for mercy, right? I mean, we do that in the Kyrie, right? In peace, let us pray to the Lord. We all say, Lord, have mercy, right? And I've always thought that was like the fundamental prayer of the church. Have mercy. We can't do anything here. We're stuck. We can't say anything. We can't do anything. We're stuck. Have mercy on us. And indeed, it is the fundamental prayer of the church. But it's not just of the church. It's of the whole Judeo-Christian tradition. What we're saying in those prayers, we could just as well say, Lord, be mercy. Lord, be who you are named to be, mercy. Now, I find that just amazing. And what they even, in the days of Rosh Hashanah, the new year, and just before Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, the prayers are filled with praying the divine attributes of mercy. To name those attributes. Because at the Day of Atonement, what people are doing is saying, before the book of God closes on this year, I want to confess, I want to atone for my sins, and part of the prayers are to recite the 13 attributes of mercy of God. Why? Because we want God to be who God is, be merciful to us, as opposed to the alternative. Punishing or whatever. Because God is mercy. Now, okay, that's more than I meant to repeat from last week, but that's okay.
It was good.
Okay, good.
You
were here last week. Oh, okay, great. I don't know where my last week's sermon is. I could just do it all over again. So, we're at mercy. So, here's the thing about mercy, right? The thing about mercy is that it is exactly that we are always asking for it, right? We don't grab it. We don't earn it. We don't pay for it. It is by the very nature of mercy, and therefore by the very nature of God, given to us. Right? We can't grasp it, claim it other than please, please, please give it to us. And that's what St. Paul is talking about when he talks about he's talking about grace, mercy, very similar things. He's saying, it is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And what I think he means by that is, let's make sure we're using the right language about this thing, mercy, this thing, grace. Mercy and grace. We know that it isn't something that is earned. It isn't something that is paid for. It is something that is given, showered upon us, granted to us. In Jesus' words today, we are drawn to it. He said, no one comes to me unless they are drawn by the Father. Right? Unless they are drawn by mercy, they won't get here. Or, in probably an even stronger translation of that word drawn, unless we are dragged there. And I said, well, there's a contemporary word we could use. Right? Yeah. Because I think that's exactly what happens. We've got all of this stuff. We've got anger, we've got hostility, we've got animosity, we've got all that stuff. And mercy just gets this little small play every once in a while. But you and I know that mercy is the thing that is saving our world. God, the God of mercy, is at work in Jesus, saving the world. Giving us bread for this journey. Now, you all know what mercy feels like. You've felt it. You've received it. In little ways, right? It's like, so what came to my mind when I was thinking about little ways of receiving mercy was years and years ago, when my friend Michael had killed himself, and it was in a few days after that, and his brother Tommy, the whole family's there. Tommy was my brother's best friend. Michael was my best friend. And Tommy was driving. We were going to the church to talk to the priest. And I was in the back seat. And I was talking to Tommy. And I said, Michael, you have to turn right here. And it was like everybody in the car just went, Right. And in his mercy, in his graciousness, Tommy said, Paul, it's all right. Michael is on everybody's mind. Hmm. Just that small little thing, right? And I was like, yeah, that's right. And the release of that, I felt so bad. Just like, what am I doing? Making a bad thing worse. But no, because there was mercy there. Right? So we know what mercy feels like. And we know that we receive mercy, and we know that we don't really ever have mercy until it's given to us, right? We can't come up to somebody and say, hey, you owe me some mercy here, right? That's just not how it is, right? So we are trained that we receive mercy, and then we're trained how to look at it, how to see it in the small ways that it comes in the midst of the overwhelming other stuff of the world, right? So in the Akathist of Thanksgiving, that prayer that I keep quoting to you all, there's a great line in it. It says, in the power of the Holy Spirit, each flower gives forth its scent, sweet perfume, delicate color, beauty of the whole universe revealed in the tiniest thing. That's kind of like the nature of mercy. It's revealed in the tiniest of things. A simple word. It's okay. Michael's on everybody's mind. And we receive that same mercy, that bread in the Eucharist. And listen to St. Teresa of Avila. Oh, you treasure of the poor, how marvelously you sustain souls, showing to them not all at once, but little by little, the abundance of your riches. When I behold the great majesty hidden beneath that which is so slight as the host is, I am filled with wonder. That the divine name, God, contained in this little host, this little piece of bread. It's stunning. It's so stunning that the Reformation had to have big arguments about it. So, yeah, Luther, traditionally, was saying, yes, in this bread and wine, we receive Jesus Christ. That is to say, we receive God. And one of his arguing partners was a guy named Zwingli, and he said, impossible. It can't be that. It has to be a symbol. It can't be the thing itself, because the finite, this little thing, cannot contain the infinite. Okay, he wins, logically, right? Of course the infinite can't be contained by something finite. By definition. Luther's response to that argument was, I'm going to clean it up for you, because Luther was really, he didn't like Zwingli very much. But he said, you are forgetting that the very Word of God was in Mary's womb. The finite contained the infinite. You're forgetting about the cradle, which held the infinite one. You're forgetting the cross, which held him. And you're forgetting the grave, which tried to hold him. As St. John Chrysostom says, death laid a hold of a man, and behold, he was holding God. And thus was the end of the power of death. So, the finite can indeed hold the infinite. This bread that we receive is God come to us in mercy, as mercy, and feeds us, and we become what we are fed, so that we can in fact receive and then hand out mercy, unmerited, to people who don't deserve it, to people who have no business getting it, and yet it is given. And we, least of all, deserve to get it, and we get it. And the finite holds the infinite in the very acts of mercy. So, I had the great opportunity, a front row seat, to see the mercy of God in action. So, I was at, on Tuesday, doing the service at the food bank, and it's, you know, we're in a little dugout because that's the only place where we can get some shade from the sun. And I walked into the dugout to check it out, and there was a guy in there, a homeless guy, young man, and he was homeless, but he wasn't stuffless. He had lots of stuff. And it was all scattered in the dugout, and there was no room for us to sit. And so I said, how you doing? Who are you? You know, introduced each other, and I said, sorry that you're in this situation where you have to live this way. And he says, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to be here long. My luck's going to change. And I said, well, may it be so. In the meantime, do you mind if we just scoot some things over? We're going to have a service in here, and we want to have room for some people to sit. And he was like, oh, absolutely. And he was really apologetic. I'm so sorry. I took up all the space. No, don't worry about it. So moved a few things over, made room. Everybody came in and had the service. And after the service, one of the women, and he was there for the service as well. One of the women turned to him as everybody was leaving and said to him, is there anything that you need? And I mean, at the time I was looking at all this stuff and I said, how would he know? Because it's all right. But, you know, God love her. She said, what, is there anything you need? And he actually said, yes, there is. I could use some detergent. I have to wash some clothes. I don't have any detergent. And she says, oh, I've got some detergent in my car. And she goes to her car because everybody's lined up. If you don't know about the food bank, everybody lines up in their cars and they just go file through in cars. She says, I have some in my car. She goes and gets it, brings it back to him, and gives him his detergent. All right. So now, the next thing that happens is I get to be the maitre d', so I get to talk to everybody as they go through in their cars and up to her. And I said, oh, it was really nice of you to give that guy some detergent. It's how nice that you had some in the car and all that, just talking. And she said, oh, yeah, we've got it all worked out, Pastor. And I was like, you have it all worked out? Huh, how so? She said, well, he told me that he doesn't stay there during the day. He leaves his stuff there. So I told him, I gave him a pad and a pen and said, write down anything you need, and if you're not here, put it under this little rock here by this next to the dugout, and I'll come and check on it a couple of times a week just to make sure that you have everything you need. Just put it down there, and I'll get it for you. All right, this woman has her stuff in her car, right? So she's really no better. She's got a car, who doesn't? But they're in the same situation, right? And this needy person is taking care of this needy person. Oh, that is divine mercy. That is the infinite God at work right here in the midst of all of our mess. That's the bread of life. That's the stuff that you can live forever on, right? Live like that, and living forever, not living forever, doesn't really even make any difference. You're alive, which is what Jesus is calling us all to be. Alive in mercy, alive in grace, alive in love for one another. This is the bread of life. And it is Jesus who is calling us to it. Man, being drawn into that, it's really sweet. It's sweet. What a way to live. Jesus, whose name is mercy.